In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Lift your voice, express your worship to him. Lift your voice and honor him. Open your mouth and with your own words give him praise. Bless him greatly. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. Open your mouth and just honor him. Open your mouth and exalt him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for he is God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we exalt. Lift your hands and we declare it. We exalt thee, O Lord, sing. O Lord, Lord, we here because of your will. You've gathered us here because of what you intend to do. And Father, we release this meeting to your hands that you will have your way. And we give you all the praise. Bless everyone here tonight in and through the ministry of your word. Let us leave this place filled and yet hungry again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please clap your hands and give Jesus all the praise. I'm used to Abuja people not clapping.
Come on, clap your hands and give him praise.
Let's also honor the Lord for Minister E. Daniels. That was a powerful session. Amen. Please be seated. He took permission to leave immediately after the ministration, but he'll be here with us again tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to be full time. Amen. So make sure you don't miss tomorrow. But can we get to the word in a moment? I want to thank every one of us for being here. And also want to thank those who are following by the internet right now. And, you know, sometimes when you pray and prepare for a program, mostly what we have in our heart is so that the program can be a success. But sometimes we need to look beyond achievement to God's sovereign will. Why did he gather us? Amen. And I think when we look to the will of God being done in every service and in every meeting, you will also find in it your package for a successful meeting. So it's all about him. It's about looking unto him. The Bible says they looked unto him and their faces were enlightened and they were not ashamed. And I believe God gathered us here this weekend for something remarkable that will change our lives in a very phenomenal way in Jesus' name. And so I'd like everybody to open your heart and be ready to receive what the Lord has. And don't try to give God a formula as to how he would reach out to you. Let's just come not knowing what he will do and then be grateful for whatever he does in any of the days. But I know that God is going to minister to our hearts as he's already doing so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My biological father is here. Hallelujah. And you know, I just think it's the grace of God. The first time we had Glory Summit 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, he was around. Last year, he was around. This year, he came in from Jos today. You need to clap well, oh, if you have ever been to Jos. Amen. That road. Amen. And should have been resting, but he came. He said he came for the meeting. And usually I would like to just leave him till tomorrow to be the final voice we'll hear before we close the meeting. But allow me to just call him up for a minute or two to just greet us and then maybe release a preview of the blessings that you will receive tomorrow. The Bible says, honor your father and mother that your days will be long. That's a very remarkable and necessary commandment. Amen. And it's also my pleasure to let you know that aside from being my biological father, he discipled me literally. Amen. I'm a product of many graces, but there are some that are distinct. In fact, this year I decided to do something for my birthday. I decided to take time to talk about people who have had impact in my life. And I mentioned about 7 of them. And guess who was number 1 on the list? Him. Amen. You know, your father will not give you everything that you need to grow, to thrive and succeed. But you can't take away the place of foundations. Your father is your source. Whatever you become was because you came through that channel. And I think it's a blessing when you have your biological father playing a major role in your spiritual growth and even in your launch to ministry. And I wish this was a service to talk about the impact he has had on my life. But I wouldn't want to take all our time for that. But honestly speaking, whatever you see and admire in my life today, he has played a major role. If you take him out of the equation, I will not be what you see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the things that he taught me to embrace is the ministry of the Word of God. And he's such a person that teaches you practically. In fact, he starts with the practical. And is somebody that I recommend for any young minister who wants to grow practically in genuine, authentic ministry with integrity. Not the one that they are doing these days that has all kinds of mixture. If you want to really serve God and grow and do ministry with integrity and the fear of God, I recommend Reverend Dr. Lagang to train you. Amen. If he train you, your life will never be the same. My life is not the same, Abby. Please help me honor God for my beloved father. Do me a favor and rise to your feet. And let's just honor him. I'll give him a minute or two to just greet us, say a word to us, and then we proceed. Could you keep clapping till he comes? Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, I just come to enjoy myself. I was telling Pastor Prince Will that this is not necessary. All the same, I'm happy that it's happening here. You know, there's no joy, as you can say, to see your children rising up to this, to the challenge of ministry these days. Apostle, I thank God for what the Lord is doing through you and through many of you that have stood with him for so long a time. I pray that this meeting will be impactful and nobody will go back the same way he came. He has said so many things, but if he tell you my ugly part, you may not even like me. Yes, because we can be to the extreme sometimes. Yes, no minister does well without discipline. So that's the first place. Discipline is the first place in ministry. If you are not disciplined, don't come near me. But if you are disciplined to the letter, then we can be friends. The Lord is here this night to make somebody become what God intended him to be. And I pray that tomorrow will be greater and you are leaving this place filled to the brim in the name of Jesus. The grace of the Lord mightily rest upon you. Let there be a release from heaven, a package for everyone. That you will leave this place and you will never recover from it until the next year we meet again. In the name of Jesus, I decree the heavens open. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here and go bless in Jesus' name.
Please clap and celebrate God for Reverend Dr. N.M. Lagang. Amen. Daddy, thank you for being here. Please be seated. Another friend of mine, maybe I'll call her a big sister, is here again. And she's been a blessing to us last year at our annual women's conference in Maiduguri. Many of you need to come to Maiduguri. Honestly, you'll be deceived to think that is happening here. Amen. Yeah, and I say it with boldness. So, amen. She was in Maiduguri, had a wonderful time together, and had the privilege of sharing a very strong, and I think he's already becoming a covenant relationship with her. Amen. And thank you for just being who you are. Her name is Barrister Mrs. Jagila Buba Kija. Amen. Can you please come up and just say a word to them before I continue? Please help wake me or help make her welcome. This one is part of the surprise too. Help me clap and celebrate Barrister Mrs. Jagila.
Praise the Lord. I didn't expect this, so, and I just wanted to surprise Apostle. He didn't know I was coming. I told Pastor Prince Will not to tell him. When I saw the flyer, I said I had to be here. without waste of time, you know, as I came in, the Holy Spirit just dropped something in my spirit, and it was just the fact that I have been one who has been helped by God. God has truly helped me. Sometimes it seems like it's pride when I say I don't have a prayer point, but that is how much God has helped me. I don't have prayer points. Most times when I pray, when they say write prayer points, I'll just be thinking, what am I going to write? But that is a testament of how much God has helped me. And tonight I want to just say that I have come with that grace. And there's somebody who is asking God for help in this place. And I want to say that the same grace that is speaking in my life, when I say God has helped me, he has helped me all over in every aspect of my life. Before I ask for something from the Lord, he already answers. That is how intentional he is about me. So sometimes I ask, how do people do, those who don't have God, how do they really do? Because God has truly been intentional about me. And I just want to release a grace on everyone tonight that may God help you. The God that helped me, Jagla, may he help you. In your time of need, may he answer. Before you even call, may he arise and answer you. May he send helpers. Helpers. Helpers from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Helpers in Nigeria. Helpers in Africa. Helpers internationally. Helpers globally. That before you need him, he will come for you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Thank you so much, sir.
Clap for Barrister Mrs. Jagila again. Amen. Thank you so much, ma. We receive the help of God. You know, in Nigeria, when you say you don't have prayer point, you have to go and ask that person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When somebody in Nigeria says, I don't have prayer point, you need to go and ask. Waiting day. Amen. I'd have told you a bit about her, but let me spare you. Amen. But she's somebody who has experienced the favor of God in a remarkable way. I think there are people God just uses their life to tell the story of what it means to be favored by God from birth till they leave this world. Amen. There may also be some other people that God uses their life to tell how that you can suffer and not die. Is that true? Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet now. There was every prophetic word he gave, they will throw him into a dungeon, throw him there. I mean, you can understand. Meanwhile, there are also some palace prophets like Isaiah, who was born in the palace. Your cousin is the king. You see that now? So God uses our lives to tell different stories. And it's my prayer that in this glory summit, the books will be opened unto you and you will find your story. And you will stop living another person's story. You say a louder amen for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so she's someone who has really enjoyed the favor of God. And I hope I will tap more in Jesus' name. Because we all need to be helped by God. Thank you for being here, man. Let's get to the word. I want to talk to us briefly today on what I titled Yielded Vessels. yielded vessels. Well, actually, what I will talk about more is the Holy Spirit, but, you know, God creates container before releasing content. So let's start the first day talking about us, because God brought you to this summit. The theme of the meeting is the manifestation or the release of the Spirit, isn't it? Good. And so God is disposable enough to pour out himself to us. But the issue is about the vessels being prepared, the containers being set. And that's how God does. His pattern is that he starts with container, because content is not a problem with God. That's the reason why God created the earth first before he created man that will live in the earth. Is that true? God created the body. He formed man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils. You know, that breath of life that was breathed into man was not just the breath of God. It was also containing the man that God created by purpose in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. Because you never find where the Bible told us how the man of Genesis 1 was created. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the cattle on the land, and every creeping thing. And then 27 says, so God created man in his image. But you never saw how that creation happened. That was creation of purpose. That was the man according to his divine purpose. But for that man to exist on earth after his likeness, because you see, when you read verse 27, it said God created man according to his image, but he never mentioned likeness there, as he talked about in verse 26. So for that man to have the likeness, God in chapter 2 had to form the body that will carry the man. And so if you walk with God well enough, you'll understand that according to God's patterns, because God will never go outside of his patterns in doing things. Native doctors do that because of the kind of spirits they serve. And that's the reason why sometimes it's difficult for human beings to wait on God, because God's ways are not our ways. It's not just about God doing something, but about the pattern and the model he has set. And so anything that God will do in your life, there is a pattern he will follow. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to help you understand that pattern, so that you can be patient enough as God molds to manifest that which he intends in your life. Are we here? Good. So God wants to talk about container today, and then we will pray that there will be a flow into the vessels that are here present today in Jesus' name. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Let's start from there. I don't know why anytime we come to Abuja, I'm always having issue of screen. There's no screen in front. Amen. I said that on purpose. Don't mind me. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. And so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And then you can read to the end of the story. Now, we know this story, but what I want to bring out is the symbolism of oil. We know from the Old Testament that oil is a very precious thing, especially amongst the children of Israel. In fact, oil was used to anoint people that God has endorsed to be priests or to be kings or to be prophets. If ever you perform any divine function, the physical ordination of your calling from God will be that oil will be poured on you. In fact, the psalmist said, thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runs over. And when we look through the Old Testament, the symbolism of oil is firstly about the Holy Spirit, especially to us in the New Testament. So oil, most of the times, will represent the Holy Spirit. And in this story, we see that the issue was not about the oil. It was about the vessels. The oil had little quantity, but it had the capacity to multiply because, or if there were available vessels. Elisha said, borrow empty vessels. But for us today, God is looking not just for empty vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. And that's what we want to talk about this first day. Oh, and by the way, please help me celebrate Apostle God's Power, who is there. He was here with us last year. Thank you for being here. And I see some of my brothers behind, Pastor Simon. And is that Elisha? God bless you, sir. Please help me celebrate them. Amen. Thank you. Because I'll forget if I continue. And so, as long as there were empty vessels, the oil kept multiplying. And now, the issue is not about if there is content from heaven. It's about if there are vessels. And not just any vessels. If there are yielded vessels. And if God is asking for vessels and container, it's because there's about to be another move of God. If God is asking for vessels, human vessels, it's because he's about to release something on the earth that has not been seen. The Bible says, eyes have not seen nor ears heard. Even the hearts of man, the imagination of man, has not captured the things that God has in store for those that love him. We've not seen the move of God yet, like we think we have seen. In these last days, there are so many dramatic kinds of the move of God that we will see. It will not make sense. If you think you've seen the power of God before, you just wait. You're about to see God move in ways that will make us believers begin to doubt if it is God. And the stage is set because you see that problems and troubles are increasing by the day. Evil is multiplying. And all that is setting the stage for an avalanche of the move of God through human vessels. And that's why God brought you here. So, God is looking for vessels. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 20, we know that scripture. That in a great house there are many vessels. And then he categorizes the vessels. Some that are gold, silver, wood, clay. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, when the Bible says some to honor and some to dishonor, let me interpret it in our, or let me apply it, because interpretation of scripture is single. My father taught me that. You know, if I just said, let me interpret it. When we go home, you say, come, who taught you that thing? Amen. He taught us hermeneutics, homiletics, and all of that. So the interpretation of scripture is single. For no prophecy was of private interpretation, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He make us cram that verse. Amen. And say, I tell you, if he trains you. Amen. But application can differ because, of course, different dispensations, different generations, different trends. And so the application of one scripture can differ across generation. When the Bible says of vessels of honor and dishonor, the plate you use to eat is different from the plate you use to serve important guests. Is that true? It's also different from the one that you sit down to do something. That one is a vessel unto dishonor. Right? Because it's capturing waste. And then the one you used to serve important guests, those are vessels unto honor. Do you now understand the context of that scripture? Good. So when you say, because when you say honor and dishonor, some people will think, oh, some people were just created to suffer and suffer. No, no. That's not what it means. All right? Some of us have been called to do the dirty job of the kingdom, like casting out devils and all of that. If you've been in deliverance ministry before, you know that's really the cleanup job of the kingdom. Amen? Especially if the demon has vomited on you before. They've not vomited on me. And the Bible says in verse 21 that if a man purges himself of all these, and then you see the list of those things, and we'll touch them today and pray. It says he will be a vessel unto honor. Meaning that how you come into the kingdom does not matter. And meaning that God is so just and fair that even though he has called us to individual unique callings, however, when it comes to the general purposes of God, if God needs something to be done, especially within a generation, he may not have preferences. He will look for the one that is available and yield it. We all have our callings. But if you can yield further, he can add to you. Just like he added to the one that had 5 talents, another 5 talents, and it became 10. Are you seeing that? So beyond just your calling, if you can yield to God and submit to the dealings that will purify you and prepare you, there's no height he can't take you to. Whatever anointing or grace that you intend to walk in or you covet is available. But it's about knowing the price to pay to have that oil or that grace poured into you. Now, we brought out oil from that scripture, and I said that oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, because the theme of this meeting is the release of the Spirit. I've said it before that when God gave his Son, he gave himself. But when God gave the Holy Spirit, he gave everything. Somebody say everything. Everything. After the Holy Spirit, there's nothing else God can give or should give or can give that he hasn't given. Any other thing that you'll be asking God for is still routed by the Holy Spirit to you in Christ Jesus. Any other thing, spiritual or physical. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And the word blessing is in singular in that scripture. Tells you that blessing is not just substance. That blessing is first a being that God gives. So when God gives you the Holy Spirit, there's no need to ask him anything again. Every other thing, somebody say, okay, but Apostle, the Bible not say we should ask? Yes, but you see, now that you have the Holy Spirit, when you ask God for something, you are asking as a son. You are not asking as an outsider. You are asking as a son that understands that God has much more than what he is asking for. Number one. And then number two, because the Holy Spirit is in you, you will also participate in the delivery of that thing. And that's how prayers are answered. When you pray, you don't just pray and say, well, it's up to God. The day he answers, fine. The day he doesn't answer, no. When you pray, because of the Holy Spirit in you, God brings you into partnership so that you are part of the process that brings the answer to your prayer. That's why when you finish praying, you remain sensitive, because the answer can be by an instruction. You can pray about something and God will say, stand up and jump on one leg for seven times. So what is jumping on one leg for 7 times? Am I running mad? Can you just run mad and do it for 7 times? So you are partnering with God in delivering the answer. That's because you are a son of God. You are part of the house. You and God owns the storehouse. So you are not asking like an employee who just hopes that whatever happens, whether this company makes losses or profit, they will shall pay me my salary. That's how some Christians are. But that's not how a son is. The Bible says the son abides in the house forever, but not a slave. So when you ask, you come in partnership with God because you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And so you and God will participate in bringing the answer. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit. And that partnership will continue for as long as you want to remain a Christian. And because of that partnership, you need to understand why it is important that we are yielded vessels. Not just available vessels, but that you are yielded. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. Switch from the analogy of oil and let's use water, for example. That's also another metaphor used to qualify the Holy Spirit. Water. 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 Many scriptures show us the ministry of the Holy Spirit as water. In fact, you will understand the flow and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit if you understand how water works. In Revelation chapter 22 and Ezekiel 47, the water of life there is the Holy Spirit. And let's talk about that for a little. First of all, there are four metaphors used to talk about how water explains the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to listen and get it very well. Four. Maybe four different body of water. The first is well. Well is a source of water. Well is water that is gotten from under the ground. In fact, by explanation, there's something called aquifer. Aquifer is a compact of soil, rocks, and other things under the ground that hides water. It hides moisture. And because of how compacted it is under the ground, there is a pressure there that holds the water together. And so anything that hits that place will force a springing up of water. That's why when you dig deep into the ground, water will start coming out of it on its own. That means you have struck the aquifer where there are soil, you know, materials, rocks, and all of that. And the pressure that is trapped because of the water there has been released. Now, this well speaks about the first manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you become born again, you encounter the manifestation of the Holy Spirit as well. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria, of course, you know, Jesus is a very, very wonderful teacher. She was at the well, so he used the well to teach her about eternal life. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. He said, anybody that drinks from this well will thirst again. But anybody that drinks from the water that I give him will never thirst again. He says, and out of him will spring forth a well unto eternal life. Just the way when you dig the ground, water begins to spring. That's what spring. It comes out on its own. The same way you drill a borehole, and once you hit the aquifer, water starts coming out on its own. And now because that water is hidden in the ground, it has passed through a lot of rock, soil material, and all of that. The water is clean, and it carries a constant temperature. That is the reason why in those days, one of the ways to preserve the cool temperature of water is that they will create earthen pots, clay pots. Some will even dig the ground, put the pot inside and pour water there. Because water that comes from the earth carries constant temperature and is clean because of the purification process it has gone through. And that's what happens to you when you become born again. That well there speaks about your being born again as a child of God. That when you are born again, inside of you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Remember, he's the seal of our redemption. Meaning, when you buy a shoe, you put deposit money so that they keep that shoe for you and not sell it to another person. Even though you don't try that in Nigeria nowadays. They will still sell the shoe and tell you, somebody, or they will sell the shoe and order for another one before you come. Amen. That when you get born again, God puts his spirit in you. The Spirit of God becomes the deposit of God in you, that there's been a down payment for your soul and you belong to God. The work of the Holy Spirit is to create that well of eternal life. Now, when I'm saying well, now I'm not saying literally there's a well inside of you, no. But just like well water is known because it springs out of the ground, the Spirit of God bubbles up the life of God inside of you. And that's what makes you a new creature. That's what makes you like God. That's the change that happens inside of you that makes you know that you are saved. The well of eternal life, that you have the life of God. It's eternal first before it's everlasting, because eternal means the God life. Now, that well in you, remember in Isaiah 12 verse 3, the Bible says that with joy we will draw water from where? The wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Because when you are saved, the first release or manifestation of the Holy Spirit you will encounter is that of the well inside of you. So he bubbles up the life of God inside of you. And because when you have well water in a compound, everybody benefits from that well. Of course, we use water for so many things. And so think about the well of salvation inside of you as personal revival. That's the portion of the Holy Spirit inside of you for you. It helps you to know God. It helps you to walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16. It helps you to experience the manifestations of God to your life as a person. The well experience is a personal experience. That's the one that certifies that you are a believer. You are saved. The joy that you experience in the Holy Ghost is because of that well dimension. The peace of God, well. Everything about you in the kingdom will happen at that first level of the well experience. Now, there are many believers who are there. Many of us are there at the well level. Okay? So you'll always feel joy. Every day you wake up, there is the peace of God inside of you. And every time you pray about something and God wants to give you an assurance, he just bubbles up more water. Have you ever seen people going to pour water into a well? There's no need. The water is coming from the ground. It will keep coming. Except your well is a very shallow well. So if you need more, you'll have to dig more. So the well experience is the experience that is gotten at salvation. It's the born again experience. That's the one that introduces you to personal revival. Number two is the river experience. In John chapter 7, Jesus said from verse 37 and 38, he cried at the last day of the feast that if any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. And Jesus said, he that believes in me, as the scripture declares, out of him shall flow, out of his belly. The word belly there means innermost being. It simply means your spirit. That means that this experience can only happen when you are born again first. You need to have the John chapter 4 experience first before you talk about this one. It's funny that an unbeliever will enter our church these days. And when they are singing, out of my belly shall flow river. The unbeliever is singing, out of my belly. Which river will flow from you? Start from the well first. After all, a river is a stream. It's the flowing of water. That water must come from a source. Most times, it is the water springing from the ground that guarantees that there will be water that flows. So if you don't have the well experience, you forget about the river experience. It has to bubble up from you before it flows from you. Many people are trying to flow what they have not tapped into from inside of them. Many people are still carrying shallow wells. And that's why they don't even have enough to sustain them. That's why 2 weeks after now, they are in depression. And they'll struggle with that for 1 month. And then meander into a service. And when they get into that service, somehow, as they worship, they get revived again. When you see that fluctuating kind of experience, that person is not only at the well experience, the person is still at a shallow well experience. That one, God cannot flow through you. You can only, you will experience and enjoy what God is doing with you. But the purpose or the goal was that God whatever he started with you will flow from you. That it moves from a well to a river. And God brought you to this summit these 3 days so that your well will overflow into a river. The river experience. This is the experience of the Holy Spirit in your life that becomes beneficial to everybody around you. This one now makes it obvious that God is at work in your life. Everybody sees it. At the well experience, at best you just speak in tongues and one or two, and you are just the only one enjoying what you have with God. People may still doubt if you are a child of God or not. Okay, okay. But talking about the Christianity with evidence of the presence and the power of God, you have to move from the well to the river experience. It has to overflow. Until it overflows, people may not believe that you carry something mighty on your inside. And that's why Jesus said, he that believes, because by believing you are saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that believes and is born again first, out of him will now flow rivers of living water. The river experience is what brings about corporate, communal, or societal. Yes, corporate revival, communal revival. It begins to flow from you to affect those around you, in your department, in church, amongst your neighbors, and all of that. I remember years ago when I was still in school, the first room I got when I entered the school, because the first semester I was staying off campus. And then second semester, I had a friend of mine who was then in foundry level, and then he went on IT. You know, engineering students go on IT at foundry level. So he brought me to stay in his room. And I remember that before the first semester ended, one of those days he brought me to the room, you know, to just socialize with his roommate and all of that. About two or three of them were in final year. One was in pharmacy, the other two were in foundry level courses. Then about three of them plus him were engineering students who will go for IT. So I went there. That's the day to socialize. Let them see me and know that. And now I was a fire-branded person when I entered school. I didn't get my fire in school. I carried it into school. Say amen. I'd been with Dr. Lagang for years now. Do you understand? So I entered. I'm not part of those people who experience revival on campus. No, I'm not in your league. Trust me. With all humility, I'm not in your... Just the way Barrister Jagila said, I'm helped by... I don't have prayer point. I didn't start my revival on campus. So I'm older than campus revival life. And the same grace that empowers that will rest upon somebody today. In the name of Jesus Christ. I entered with fire, believe me. And I went to the room to socialize, thinking I will meet wonderful roommates. When I went there, I saw them sharing Zobo. I didn't know that there were narcotic substances in the Zobo. Those are the people I'll live with. Drugs were in their Zobo. In fact, one of them drank the Zobo so much, he began to act funny. I'm telling you. He was packing his things to travel. The semester had ended. You will see the whole clothes on the bed. Then the box was open one side. And then they call. I won't mention his name because maybe he's watching now. I don't know. They say, pack your clothes and put now. He said, no, the clothes, they come out. As they put them, they come out. As they put them, they come out. And he's the one that removed the clothes. Oh. So you know that this one was gone. Do you know that that influence stayed with him for 3 days? He traveled like that. In fact, the story had it that when they arrived, Bauchi, because he was going somewhere, I won't mention the name of the place. You know, the internet is, it has made the world a village. Maybe he's one of our followers online now. When they got to Bauchi, before the bus even stopped, he jumped down from a moving bus, walked straight in. You know, a filling station most times have retail shops. Walked straight there, opened the fridge and took two cans of malt and drank it. You understand? It's not your shop. What if they bundle you that you're a thief? But he was gone. Now, that was the room I was going to stay. So I came with a well experience, but I knew that if I will not be submerged into this life, I had to graduate from a well to a river. And that graduation does not happen at once. So, I began to pray every night from class to prayers, or from prayers to class, and pray. And then when you come, one of those days, you know, when you start praying, you don't see the profit immediately. After a few days of praying, I came back from lecture one day. I came and tried to open the door. It was locked. I put my key, wouldn't open. That means it was locked from inside. One of them was with a woman there. That's my room. In fact, I remember that in the previous semester when I was sick. No, the next semester. That semester I was in the room. One of those girlfriends was even the one that took care of me. You know, sometimes Simon the Cyrene will be the one to carry the cross. That's why it's not good to judge people. Sometimes that person is the one. I'm telling you. Mad lifestyle. But I didn't know why they just like me. In fact, the name Apostle started from that room. And then one night when I came back, went from class to pray. When I came back, as I was approaching the door, somebody opened the door. Which is abnormal. When you come back, you have to wait like 30 minutes for somebody to be aroused from their sleep to open the door. And the funny thing about these guys was, regardless of their lifestyle, they were brilliant. Two of them were four pointers. You see, so wait till you want preach, give them. The guy opened the door and I entered. When I woke up the next day, everybody had gone for lecture, but he was around. And it was a lecture-free day for me. So he waited for me to finish freshening up and then sat down. Then he came and sat down. That was how that one was saved. I didn't know he was waiting for me. That one was saved, went back to church. The second one saved. I didn't know he was even a member of Living Faith. He went back to technical department. The third one, like that, before the end of that semester, all of them had returned back. Without preaching to anybody. There are some people that are so bad, your gospel, your mouth will close. You can't even preach. Why? Because the well became a river. If you want to see change around you, your well must bubble up. If you want to walk in the power of God, it has to be in an overflowing dimension. Enough to compel conviction from those around you. And I'm basing more on the river because we are talking about vessels, because God wants to flow. And the river experience is all about flowing. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers. The third dimension is the rain. I'll talk about that tomorrow. And then there is a fourth dimension, which I think we need to talk about tomorrow as well, is flood. Somebody say flood. The Holy Spirit, the experience of the Holy Spirit using the analogy of water can be as well. That is salvation, personal revival, as river. That's the one where you walk in ministry gifts, in spiritual gifts, and God begins to use you. And then there's the rain. That's the one that brings societal and global revival. And I will show you how we can tap into that rain. Because the rain will fall this year. Over this nation, the rain will fall. Then there is flood. That one is judgment. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit can also manifest as judgment too. And I think we need to start seeing the Holy Spirit as judgment these days. Before January next year. Do you understand January? Okay. But now, as we round up to pray, God is looking for vessels. You know, in Ezekiel 22 verse 30, God said, I sought for a man. And God speaks in a very interesting way, such that you need to sit down, listen, or read again what God is saying. How can God say, I sought for a man, when there are over 8.7 billion people on earth? I sought for a man. There are men everywhere. Use. There are enough men that he doesn't even need to use a donkey again. Yet we see that in the Bible, there was a time there was no man. God had to use a donkey. Meanwhile, there were men there. In fact, there was even a prophet there. But what will make God use an animal? And I pray that in this generation, God will not look above us and begin to raise stones. What will make God look beyond men? To use animal stones. Why would God say, I sought for a man when there are men everywhere? In fact, some of you come from families that are so large that if God anoint everybody in your family, it's enough to command revival in your local government. Enough. 12 children. The 12 sons of Jacob, only that they are girls and boys. Why is God looking for vessels when there are vessels everywhere? God created man for his purpose. God said, let them have dominion. In other words, I want to live in this material realm, but I want to live through a creation. Every other creation, he created them for other purposes. But for us, we were created to show forth his praises, that God will wear you and walk amongst his creation. And then you will give expression of who God is. Every one of us in different ways. Yet, God is looking for vessels. When there are vessels everywhere. Let me show you 6 reasons why there are not many yielded vessels. And we may have to repent a little bit this night and trust God that God will find us as a vessel before the end of this conference. Number one, reasons why there are not many yielded vessels. He said, I sought for a man. When there are thousands of people, millions of people, I sought for a man. Could God be looking for somebody in your family? Perhaps in your local government? Maybe the vicinity where you live? Maybe there is an increased rate of evil, cultism, atrocities everywhere. Maybe there is spiritual wilderness in your location where you are. And yet God is looking for... Why will God... If God is talking to me, and he's telling me he's looking for a man, the first reaction from me should be to repent first. Because if God is talking to a man and saying he's looking for a man, it means even the man he's talking to may not be yielded enough. And yet he created us. When your creation is no longer usable by the creator. Number one reason why God looks for vessels and why there are not many yielded vessels. Many people want the glory, but are not interested or ready to pay the price. That's the first reason. Many people want the glory. What is the glory? The glory of God is the essence of God, is the nature of God, is the fullness of God. The fullness of God manifested. Every time you hear the word glory in scripture, it talks about fullness. It talks about weight. It talks about brilliance. It talks about the entirety of a thing. Many people want all of God, but they are not ready for the price. They are not even interested. Some are not even interested. Some don't even know there's a price to pay. To just carry all of God like that. But everybody wants the glamour that it brings, the celebration that it brings. Because when God begins to use you, in our generation, you become a celebrity. Everybody wants that celebrity life. Everybody wants the honor accorded. Everybody wants the greatness. Everybody wants to be looked at as the one who is successful. The one God is using. And there are many reasons why we think we want that. But nobody wants the prize. To carry all of God. For your well to graduate into a river. Do you know that a river is enough to water an entire city? In fact, there are entire regions. Regions can be different states that are known because of the river. For instance, even Nigeria as a country, there are 2 major rivers in this country. River Niger and River Benue. And these 2 rivers are responsible for... You know, dissecting this country into geopolitical zones. I wish I had time to talk about the river. Maybe I should talk about that a little. Do you know that when a river flows, there are a lot of advantages it brings? First of all, irrigation is possible. Agriculture is possible because of irrigation. That means even if there is no rain, people can tap water from that river, water their crops, and still grow crops in dry season. When a river flows, it causes erosion in the earth. That erosion exposes mineral deposits. It exposes gold and other things that are there. In Genesis chapter 2, one of the rivers that parted from Eden, the Bible says it flowed into a land where there was gold. How did he know there was gold there? As the river was flowing on the earth, it eroded the ground and gold was discovered. When the river of God flows from you, men will begin to find their callings because of your existence. You become a spiritual Wi-Fi. Because of you, you may not know it, but there's a spiritual atmosphere in that place. I remember one time we went to Bill years ago in 2017, and we had a program. When we finished that program, they told me, in fact, I think they even brought the person the next year. When we finished that program, was it 2017 or 2018? And a young man who was from the EYN denomination. How many of you are from the north here? Okay. When you go to Igbo land, you see Catholic, isn't it? When you come to the north, you see EYN. Amen? Yes, so. In fact, if you are starting ministry in the north, go and sow a seed to EYN. I'm the one telling you. Now, that's a denomination where issues about the Holy Spirit is not elaborately explained. So many manifestations of the Spirit are curtailed. I mean, speaking in tongues can even be. This guy left our meeting. I don't even know if I made contact with him. I was teaching quietly like this and we prayed. He left our meeting, went home and prayed in tongues for 3 hours. That's what they told us. And fasted for 2 days without food. No hand was laid on him because a river flowed. Because an atmosphere overwhelmed the one he carried. And he began to find his place. Just like you can enter a place where there is demonic infestation. Strong! And even everything about you begins to react negatively. So also a man can so localize God that when people come around you, even from miles away, you have regulated permanently the temperature. I pray that will be somebody's experience from today. That you will not need to preach to people who are drug addicts and they will return back to church. You will meet people who are always carrying one girlfriend every week. And after a while, it stops completely. You meet people who are deep in the world. And all of a sudden, they are the ones doing dry fast. That's the dimension where you don't need ministry for that. That's where everybody needs to come into. Where you can meet somebody who is rich and stingy and doesn't care about God. And then there's a conversion experience that happens. And that person becomes a channel to fund kingdom purposes. But if you want that flow, you must know that there's a price to pay for that glory. There is a price. Forget these hyper grace teachings. And there's not grace teachings are good. But when we teach that alone, it becomes hyper. So that's the thing about the kingdom. When you isolate a truth and stay on that truth alone, it becomes an error. So error is not like you are teaching the wrong thing. No, you may be teaching the right thing, but you are staying on only that thing. God is more than one truth. God is truth. You understand? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything, the truth of prosperity is him. The truth of healing is him. The truth of sanctification. How a man can go from a murderer to live such a holy life as though he never carried arms before. Sanctification, that's a truth. Oh, we don't preach that one, but we need it now. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we need that. How a murderer, Saul, can become a preacher, Paul. And Paul is ready to even die. He said, we are willing to spend and be spent. They stone him and he dies. and by divine encounter he comes back and enters the same place where they stone him. If it's another person, you will run. If you want God to flow through you to command these kind of possibilities, there are prices to pay to carry the glory. It's not about if God wants to. God wants to give it. But are you ready to pay the price? Many people are not interested. They just want the glory and all that it brings. But the price with it, no way. Can I tell you something? In the kingdom of God, when God graces a man, is such that the man may be aware he's carrying a grace, but he may not enjoy that grace like others enjoy it. That means if God wants to bless you with the grace for financial prosperity, he will put it on your life, but he will work in your life in such a way that you will come to a point where you are not aware that you are blessed. And he will intend that you stay that way. Because the day you become aware and conscious that you are blessed, the blessing becomes your idol. And no flesh will glory in his presence. God is jealous about his position. So every other person will know you are rich. But you, he will force you to live a life. He will put you through some dealings that will make you not even think that you are blessed. Not so that people ridicule you, but because it is good you stay that way. That's what it means to live sober. Not overly conscious of what you carry. You see, but you now, you want a Rolls Royce so that you can drive it around town. And there's nothing wrong in that. But if you truly, is it a Rolls Royce? If you truly want that Rolls Royce, do you know the price to pay to get it? And if you think God's own is very harsh, go and meet the devil. Let them tell you what they do for Yahoo. We'll do this charm for you. You'll get 8 billion, but you can only spend it for 2 years. After 2 years, you'll die mysteriously. You want that one? So many people, it's one of the reasons why we don't have yielded vessels. To carry that glory, that weighty substance. Number two, many have refused to align with the consecration of their calling. This one is big grammar, I just said. Many have refused to align with the consecration of their calling. If it is grammar to you, it may mean that you are not aligned to your own calling too. Before I formed you, I knew you, sanctified and ordained you as a prophet to nations. Glory be to God. A prophet to nations. The next thing that will come to if somebody like that in this Gen Z, to get social media handles, because I'm a prophet to nations, so the whole world must hear me. I must be on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter, on Threads, on Plantain, anyone, because I'm a prophet to where? Nations. But do you know that when God calls a man, there is something called consecration? It's the code of your calling. That calling will adjust you to a lifestyle, whether you like it or not. I'm not saying that you will borrow from another person, no. I'm saying that the calling will create a lifestyle for you that you can't live beyond. The man that God called him as a prophet to the nations, did you read about his life? Did you see what happened with him there? Chapters later, the man, the prophet, he spoke to God and said, God, you deceive me. Jeremiah 20. Because of the kind of things he went through. That's a prophet to nation. One time God said, go and prophesy and say, this king, your reign has ended. You, this will happen to you. He went there and they threw him into a pit. Bam. Do your nation's ministry from there. Go global from there. There are consecrations to callings. There are things you can't do. There are things you must do, whether you like it or not. Many people don't want to align to the consecration of their call. They want to live like it. That's the problem in our generation. Somebody will just watch. Let me use some of these revered American preachers. Somebody will watch Stephen Furtick or Todd. What's that his name? The black one. Todd Whitten. And then you just like his leather jacket and his jeans and his haircut and his sneakers and say, man, that this is how ministry should be. All this suit and tie that we are wearing like this. Okay. Wait, that is his own calling, oh. You, have you found out your own? Maybe your own is to wear long gown. Ambap molo, skin cut. Consecration goes from lifestyle habit to discipline activities. Listen, let me tell you, that's the reason why when you see a gift fluctuating in your life, a spiritual gift fluctuating, find out the environment or the activity that allows its continuous manifestation and stay to it. That is the consecration. If, for instance, if you want to have dreams, you must fast every week, and then you just decided, no, I have to start eating shawarma and other things like that, you will stay for 2 months and your eyes will be as black as this curtain here. When you return back to your consecration, you will see it manifest. The problem is many of us, some know their calling but don't want their consecration. Some don't even know their calling, and so they are not working by their consecration. That's the second reason. Number three, many are available but unusable. God, I'm available. All right, now come, let me use you. God, you get us in the deal. Come can be an instruction for 1 year. Do this and do that. Or go here, or go leave this place. Go to this church. Sit down as a member. You know, because when God calls you, he doesn't call you to use you immediately. He calls you to make you. It's true, come the way you are, but you definitely will not remain you are. In fact, the day you come the way you are, if from that day, you will never remain the way you are. In Jesus' name. So nobody should deceive you. Come the way you are, oh, no problem. But as you they come, no say, you no go remain the way you are. He'll begin to make you. He'll begin to break you. Chisel out certain things and put certain things in you. And then compel you to begin to like some things. Now, this is where surrender becomes difficult for some people. And so that's why many people are available in church, but very few are usable. Many are called, but few have been chosen. And I pray that you will not remain unusable for a long time. Have you read that scripture that says God will give them unto a reprobate heart? Have you also read the scripture, Genesis 6 verse 3, my spirit will not strive any longer with man. God can get tired of a person. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Very true song. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Yes, God can go any length to get you. But when he gets you, before he starts using you, he'll break you first. Maybe you dribble God. You run far. You suffer and well, no problem. You see that suffer where you suffer and you go come suffer. God told Ananias to tell Paul. He said, tell him what he must suffer for my sake. I had to pursue him to the road to Damascus. No problem. That's why when you understand these things, you will not even make it difficult for God. You just surrender quickly. And I'm not by that presenting a God that is a tyrant. No, he's a loving father, but a God of purpose. Because any father that likes the child too much and keep the child in the house from going to school, that child will grow to become a nuisance one day. Many people are available but not usable. God cannot... You are not flexible. Shut down this ministry. Go and join this church and stay there till I come to you. Ha! Your ego. God, everything in my life has failed. The only thing succeeding that is looking like it to succeed is ministry. And now you want to shut it down. Are you usable? You are trying, the business is not working. Trying the business, shut down for 3 months. No. Let me continue. I have to be doing something. I have to hustle. Okay, you want to hustle? Keep hustling. Then you hustle your way into debt. Guess who you cry to? God again. And you know the thing with God is, when you come to God because you are in desperate need, he will solve the need. After solving the need, we'll start from where we stopped. Yes, sir. No, don't think that you just automatically promote you. No, no, no. There'll not be your father be PTA chairman. No, no, no. It will start from that place. It will rescue you, no problem. God is a deliverer. But after deliverance, process will continue. Many people are available but not usable. And for you to be usable, you must surrender. From your finances, in fact, from your soul, your heart. Let's not even talk about anything. You surrendered first. Before God will even do anything with you, is that you are surrendered to Him. Are you ready for me to disorganize your life and make out of you something beautiful? And God, you see, the processes of God are not explained. They are experienced. So when God starts the disorganization, the dismantling, it may be painful. But if you have faith in the God who calls and makes and uses, you will continue the process. It's just that the process can be long. Number four, God has invested His glory on so many, but their greed and lust for the things of this life have made them betray Jesus to serve themselves. That's another reason why many are not yielded. God has invested His glory on some. Somehow they managed the making process. They went through so much and then God has invested His glory on them. But now they want to serve themselves. That's the highest form of betrayal. When you pretend with God as if, God, just give me this power. It's for your glory. I vow, you know, be careful what you say before God. Oh, God, they hear. Oh, God, no get deaf. Yeah, oh, God, they hear. Father, I promise you, if you do this for me, I will. Hey, calm down. You are not the first human being. But since you say, I will, God will do it for you. Then God will look at you. Oh yeah, do wait till you talk now. Say, Kai. I remember one time somebody was looking for a job one time so well. And a person came to me desperate. You know, believers in their desperation. And may you not meet a false prophet in your desperation. Please say amen, Abuja people. Amen. You need the amen. Say amen. Amen. You need the amen, oh, because where I come from, they're not too plenty and they can't increase because I'm there. You know what Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20? He said, when I leave you, grievous wolves will come. That means for as long as I'm with you, the wolves cannot raise their head. Yeah. Where I am, for as long as I'm there, even if they are, there will just be one or two. But for you, you need them. And the person came desperate. Apostle, I'll do this, I'll do that. He said, God, give me a job now. I will give my first thing, most salary. I was just looking at the person. Cried and did everything. I said, all right, Father, you are the God that he, all thou that hears prayer, unto thee shall all flesh. Hear this flesh, I beg. In Jesus' name, somebody say, and God heard the flesh. And a big job came. Guess the next thing, the person called me. I said, Apostle, what's the difference between first fruit and, you know, they praise God now because they say, Apostle, if you want to give your first fruit, if you are giving tithe, and this was years ago, I say, come. And you know, if you come and ask me that kind of question, I can be cynical sometimes, you know, not negatively, but I don't know how to hide the truth. I'll just tell you the way it is. I told the person, I said, see, you made this promise to God. If you want, give. If you don't want, give, go. God does not need that money. But just know that you will remain indebted to God. And who knows, maybe that job was just a test. God says, see, I'm 500,000. I beg, let's look for another person and give. And because God is eternal, God is everlasting. Even if your generation dies, He will wait for another generation that will yield. I pray in the name Mohasagalabakayalabagadabashiaka. May God not look above your generation. May God not look above you in that family. May God not wait till your generation is over before using another person. In the name of Jesus. Yes, so God can be patient. He's a gentle, he doesn't struggle. He'll just leave you. And the thing is, he will not take what he gave you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But you see, when you buy a phone and somebody steals the charger and go, and you are not bothered because the phone is 100%, don't worry. 100% will become zero one day. So God may not take from you what he gives you, but the truth is that thing can only be sustained as long as it is connected to God. So God has invested on many, but their greed, the lust for material things. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 10, Paul spoke about a man called Demas and how that he forsook Paul and left Paul in the field of mission. Why? Because he loved the things of this life. There are many things taking away our attention from God. Many things. Even those of us called into ministry, be careful that the ministry itself, don't love the ministry more than God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many. I was praying this afternoon for the program and God stopped me and said, come. Is it really because you want the program to be successful or because my will should be done? I said, change of prayer, or change of prayer. I said, I beg. See that now. Lost. And it's only revealed when God puts you in the midst of abundance. When God finally gives you what you are looking for, then it's a test, like Hezekiah. When Hezekiah became great, God withdrew from him to test him. And it was obvious that he didn't care about God. When the Babylonian ambassadors came, he showed them the beauty of his kingdom, everything. He never for once opened his mouth and says, the God of my father. He forgot the God when a king sent him threat and said, come, who are you trusting in? Me. I'll come and remove you from that place. He nearly wee-weed on his knicker. He went to the house of God, a king, and cried before God. God delivered him. But now when people have come, you know, we always say God should be glorified. But when people come, when it is now on public view, do we really give God the glory? Or do we think that it will be a sting to our ego if we hide away the fact that we do something. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. In fact, if I must advise you, if people come around you because of your results, thank them and tell them it's the grace of God. If you discern that there are serious people that believe in process, then you can add to it what you went through. But if there are unserious people who are cloud chasers, just tell them the grace of God. Because there will be no need for you to tell them the path that you did to cooperate with God. This is wise counsel, I'm telling you. The truth is because they are selfish people. They don't care about God. They are only after, in fact, they wouldn't have come to you if you are not succeeding. In fact, they had to overcome their ego to come to you. You think that they are smiling with you. Some of them don't even like you. They are angry. Why would God use you? We are better off. We have the stature. Why would God use this thin person? But they have to swallow their pride because, oh boy, now you get the result. So when they come to you and you discern them, just tell them it's the grace of God. Let them go back and eat it. But if they are truly humbled and want to follow God and carry the process, then you can call them and say, it's the grace of God, though, but it comes with a price. There's no need to. There are many of us, we are sharing too many things with people. Do not cast your precious pearls to swines. They will throw, everybody comes, you are giving them their secret. Hey, I used to fast once in a month. I used to do, that thing was between you and God. Keep quiet. It's the secret to your success. Many of us, everything, Jesus, in fact, how the disciples knew that the prayer life of Jesus was part of the reason why he had the power he had. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11 verse 1, it came to pass, he was praying in a certain place, then his disciples came and met him. Okay, teach us how to pray. Never for once did Jesus go, when he meets demons, come out. He will not tell them, I fasted 3 days, oh yeah, get out, no. And this is an admonition to us. When you begin to walk with God, there will be things God will give you to do that will guarantee the release of his glory. Those things are secret. You must close your mouth. And if he can trust you with little, he will entrust you with higher things. Most of the great men we celebrate today, they are embodiment of secrets. Believe me. Believe me. And for God to ensure that they don't reveal it anyhow, God had to ensure the dealing was heavy so that their mouth is closed. One of our fathers in this country will just stand with his tambourine and sing, "What a mighty God we serve." And whether he's raising his voice to preach or not, you begin to see miracles of every kind. And it happens in any nation. That man, there are secrets to that thing. God will teach you how to activate the financial grace on your life. The price will be you keep quiet. So many people have embraced their greed and they are lost. Number five, finally, before we pray. Fear and self-preservation. Another reason why we have very few yielded people. Fear and self-preservation. Yes, sir, it is true. Fear. Many people are afraid. They know that it will take so much. They know that they will lose their life in the process, not literally dying. But everything that they thought they imagined to be a life for them, they will let it go to embrace another life. So they are afraid. And that's why God cannot use them. That's why they are not yielded. There are many of us that know what is required. But for the past 5 years, you've not attempted anyone. There are many of us carrying strong prophetic graces, but you and fasting are 1 and 10. You know, any requirement that God gives you for activating a grace, it doesn't change you. Even if you come next year and pray, God will not tell you, okay, we have revised the edition. There's now a new one. You know, not lie. He's ancient God. What he said before, if you have obeyed that one, he will speak again. If you don't obey that one, he will say the same thing. How many of you have experienced God telling you something he told you 3 years ago? There are things that don't change. Self-preservation and fear. Matthew 25:25. Remember the wicked servant, the parable of the talent. He said, "I was afraid and I hid the talent. I was afraid of work. I was afraid of studying. I was afraid of alignment. I was afraid of being taught, of being mentored. I was afraid of every other thing that was required of me. I didn't want too much work, so I hid the talent in the ground." And there are many believers like that who have been afraid for 10 years, for 15 years, and demons are reigning in your family because you, the deliverer, you are afraid of what to do. Many of us like our shape and we don't want to lose it. He that loveth his life will lose it. And he that loseth his life. You know, that sentence is one. They are not different. When you come into Christ, you really love yourself. All you want God to do is about you. But in the process, you will lose that life. And then he that loseth his life, in that losing, you will now find another life that God has given. And these are the things that will make for us to be yielded vessels. Fear and self-preservation is one of the reasons. Finally, as we pray, now that we've seen 5 reasons why many people are not yielded, what can I do to be yielded as a vessel to command the flow? Number one, death to self. The number one thing that you must let go of is self. What is self? Me. Any life independent from God. Self. Do you know that the Bible didn't come? The Bible didn't put the devil with God as an enemy. There are 2 things that the Bible put comparing with God as enemies. Self and money. Self. You don't know how self can get in the way until God starts training you. Self. Self. Self that will make you not give yourself to fasting. Self that will make you not give yourself to prayers. A season can come and God will say, for 21 nights, pray. Self will make you sleep on day two. Self will make you remember that the doctor said you must have 8 hours sleep. If you don't want to live older, you don't want to be older than your age, I better make I sleep. What is it about the night prayers? And every time self wants you not to do the will of God, it will make you try to explain or find excusable reasons. Be careful every time you are looking for an excuse for why you shouldn't do something. Is it a must to do night prayers? God know they hear prayers any day. And then when you get on the internet, the devil would change the algorithm on YouTube and make you listen to a pastor somewhere who is preaching the truth, but for another congregation, not you. And the pastor will say, God hears prayers any day. You don't have to pray long. What he's saying is true, but not for you. The truth you need to hear is night. That's when to meet God. And then you say, it's true. See, God has just spoken to me. It's not. And you excuse. Every time we try to excuse ourselves. And you know one thing with God. When you are asking for too much confirmation, actually because you don't want to do it, after God speaks twice, you know they talk again. God tells you, wait upon him for 3 days. Then you are looking for confirmation. You go to the church, you waiting for this confirmation, waiting for that confirmation. God will just get tired and look for somebody who is serious. When you have gotten your confirmation, and all the confirmation will say, no. In fact, the first person said, don't you have ulcer? No. Don't fast. Don't jeopardize yourself like that. See, it's the grace of God. The grace of God that is at work. Even Paul said, I am what I am. I'm just showing you how the devil can use scriptures. It's not confirmation you used to know God. It's conviction. Sometimes what God will tell you inside, every other person will be saying a lie, including me. He said, that which I tell you in secret, declare on the mountaintop. There are seasons where God will tell you some things and he's not telling anybody. And all the confirmation you need is from that voice inside of you. Just like this morning, I was sleeping and I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw two presidents going to sign a paper. And then they stopped at some point and one of them just walked away. Say, no, that thing. And what they kept talking about was nuclear. Then I woke up and said, only for me to be watching news while I was bobbing my hair. And they said they called off the peace talk between US and Iran. See how that thing came. Now, God didn't tell any other person to tell me. He told me. And for those of you who work in the prophetic, as you grow, there will be things God will show you. Even those who mentor you will not see it. Because when God began to call somewhere, Eli did not hear it. And that's when sometimes you will need to be very careful with the limitation that mentorship can bring, as good as it is. And I'm not talking against that. No, I've been mentored to where I am and I'm still being mentored. Self, death to self. If you can die to your desires, if you can die to what you want, your passion, if you can die to anything you have created, and allow that the will of God, no matter how crazy it sounds, be done. You are usable at any level. In fact, you are usable to the degree of your death. For every level, you die to self and God will use you. You die. Sometimes, dying to self may be you not getting used to how God has been doing it because he wants to do something new. Death to self at every level. You say your own is financial glory you want to carry. You want it to flow through your life. Are you ready to die? Let God start with the basest test. The test for money. To control the power of money. Because you see that money, that currency, there's a physical force that follows it. You will know when you have gotten it. Maybe a few millions. The way the thing they do, Yuba, you see that your confidence just begins. You are talking anyhow. The first test. And how can God do that? Sometimes God will make sure everything you get in 3 months is going away. Going away. Going away. Till you look like a fool to yourself. and then embrace that being a fool to yourself is the will of God. That's the basis test, too. That's the most basic. When you have graduated from that one where everything comes, you give you everything, then you are no longer at that point. You are even waiting for God to tell you. I remember one time that thing happened to me so much. Somebody gave me an envelope with money. I left it on my table for 2 weeks. I didn't even touch it. I will study on the table. I forgot it there. Because everything will come, you go. So maybe this one too is another sacrifice. So no go touch sacrifice. Then after 2 weeks, God says, spend it. I said, spend this one. When I opened it, I saw it was a small amount, smaller than the ones that I've been given. I said, Kai. That self is self. God is killing. It's self. Because when God blesses you, when God engraces you, when God puts his glory on your life, self will arise so that you can use everything God has given you to adorn self. A man can use a prophetic gift to glorify self. A man can use an apostolic grace to exalt self. You can use anything. God can give you beauty to attract people to the kingdom, and you will glorify self and use it to attract sugar daddies for yourself. Self. That's the first step. Death to self. And as I'm saying it tonight, there are many of us that as we live here, there are many things God will begin to show you that it is time those things die, so that he can lift you. In fact, sometimes the death to self may even be good thing, so a part of you that is good, but God will say that part needs to go. Samuel kept mourning for Saul. God said, how long will you mourn over Samuel, over Saul? I've rejected him, torn. You would think that was enough. When he went to the house of Jesse, he saw Eliab. He said, surely this is the Lord. Ah, God, no. I don't look at the outward, I look at the heart. He had to die there to find the king. At every level, you will die. You will die to the marriage God gave you so that he can use you after the marriage. Otherwise, your calling will die as you get married. You will die to the car he gave you so that you can use that car for his glory. Otherwise, that car will become your God. Very soon, you'll find yourself sleeping in the car in the night when you have bed inside. Everything you will die to. There's something in us that wants us to be glorified more than God. But it has to be him that will be glorified. Even when he's being glorified, embarrasses you or ridicules you or puts you to shame. Death to self. Number two, crucifying the flesh. Crucifying the flesh simply means letting go of the desires of our sinful nature or denying it. The nature of sin in us makes us want to do the things of the world. And every day you must die to flesh. You must crucify the flesh. How? By denying it. Denying it. Denying the flesh. Peter was praying on the rooftop and he was hungry. Naturally, go downstairs and eat. But while they made ready, he didn't complain. He didn't shout. You know, when you are hungry and you want to eat and there's no food, you know that agitation. And God took him back to the rooftop. And the Bible says, while they were making ready, he prayed some more. And that's when the vision that opened the Gentiles came to him. Be careful at the point of dying to the flesh, because that may be another open door for you. Sometimes they'll invite you to preach in a place, bad hotel room, poor hospitality, everything poor, no comfort for you. God wants you to die to flesh. There's a glory that you will enter. So pass that test. There's trouble in a place. God will say, go there and preach. Me? Go there and preach? Yes, sir. Go there and preach. Death to flesh. Number three. Spiritual hunger. You want God to use you as a yielded vessel, you must be hungry for him. You must be hungry. Hungry to see him exalted, hungry to see his move on the earth, hungry to see the purpose of God find expression, a hunger that is never satisfied. At what level of the glory of God will you see and be satisfied? Spiritual hunger. There's a level of financial blessing that can come to a man, you will lose your prayer life. Because what are you praying for? That's when you move from prayer point to prayer life. Yes, sir. Don't pray to get, pray that before you get to that level, you would have died. Oh. It's a level. There's a kind of phone God gives you, and because of that phone, you will go to your prayer, you approach your prayer times late. When you had the phone that didn't have social media, once it's 12, but now 12:25, you are still there. And then we'll now spiritualize it and be speaking in tongues as you are texting. 12:35, you are still on Instagram, you are liking this one, doing this one, 12:45, you are still. See, that's why when God wants to encounter you, the first thing he needs to look for is hunger. Because it's going to be a long ride. Are you ready? If he doesn't see it, he will do it. He will do something. All of a sudden, everything around you would be dissatisfying. And it's with that. Do you know that spiritual hunger is a currency? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My flesh longeth for you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So that I will see your power and your glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Spiritual hunger is a currency in the kingdom. You can transact with it. If you are hungry enough, you can touch the glory. If you are hungry enough, you can access new realms of revelation. If you are hungry enough, you can cut into prophetic dimensions. Even the prophetic are in levels. They're in dimensions. Imagine me having a dream. I had not watched anything for the past 2-3 days. So I didn't know what was happening. And in a dream, I'm standing with two presidents and they refuse to sign a paper, not knowing that that is what is supposed to happen. And then this morning, the vice president of the US called off his trip to Switzerland to sign the deal. Imagine that level. That's real time. People dream of something that will happen in 5 years' time, and you are seeing in few hours. I can tell you many other things. Sometimes I'll be praying and God will lift me and take me to the villa here. But it's spiritual hunger. If you are hungry enough, may you never lose your hunger for God. And finally, love. This is why we'll pray tonight. So, these four things, if you want to be a yielded vessel that God can flow through, please embrace them and get ready for a life of supernatural encounters. Number one, dying to self. Number two, crucifying your flesh, denying the sinful nature that is in you every day. Number three, spiritual hunger. And then number four, love. In fact, the greatest of them is number four, love. There are levels God will not take you to until there is love in your heart. God may deliberately allow you to go through seasons of betrayal to see if the love currency is still there. People betray you and God will say, love them and bless them. And that's the price for a higher dimension in the spirit. You thought it's prayer and fasting. Ooh, are you the curriculum master? You are not. In fact, the weightier things in the kingdom are obtained by love. One time I did a video, had a program, powerful program, collected prayer requests. When I went to the house, as I sat down to pray on the request, God said, no, you can't pray. There's unforgiveness in your heart. I said, what? We just finished the video and I saw what God did in that video. It was a man who came drunk, a soldier, and God encountered him in that meeting. This was 2018. I'm not sure there's anybody here who wasn't, but people watching from Maiduguri, I'll have one person who was there. Drunk, came in drunk. And God encountered him and he was delivered without anything and many, many other things. And I went to pray on the request and God said, there is unforgiveness. So it is possible to manifest all those gifts and the heart was not right. I said, God. And then we began to trace it. And so there were 5 people who had offended me the whole of that year. I thought I had forgiven them, but I had not forgiven them. And God said, release all of them. I said, okay, I release this one, I release this one, I release one. God said, okay, if you have released them, sow a seed into their life. Because the product of love is giving. And I had to empty my account. That's when you begin to cry. Because you need something, you said revenge. And now in the appeal court, God is saying, you bless them. And you know this God that you serve. Somehow, as you are forgiving them, God will not revenge again. Somehow they will return. So the pain of knowing that God may betray me and not revenge on my behalf. And let me tell you, for those of you in ministry, if your heart is not prepared for betrayal, please don't start. Because it's every step of the way. Every step of the way. Every step of the way. And I had to do that and cry. Then God said, okay, now you can pray on the request. Do you know that 3 years later, one of them came to meet me. He wanted to start a walk. And he said, as he was praying, God told him, okay, they had started, but it wasn't working. And then he said, as he was praying one day, God told him, go and apologize to Apostle Jonathan. Otherwise, this walk will not stand. And this thing he did was like 4 years ago. And he came to my house to plead. But thank God that when he came, there was nothing in me that suggested revenge. I prayed for him. I said, no, go. I'd forgotten about him. That's when I knew that I had truly forgiven them. And it was that year that God began to announce us. Have you been blessed at all tonight? Open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth and speak to God. Yielded vessels. Yielded vessels. All for his glory. So let my heart be the temple of your spirit. Let my spirit fill the warmth of your embrace. Let me be your holy habitation, where your spirit is pleased to dwell. Oh Lord, I long to know your glory. I want to offer the sacrifice of praise. Fill this temple. Fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit once again. I want to offer
the sacrifice of praise.
Fill this temple tonight. Hey,
with your spirit once again.
Oh Lord, I want,
oh Lord, I want
to know to offer
the sacrifice of praise.
Fill this temple, Lord.
Fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit once again.
Fill this temple, Lord.
Fill this temple, Lord,
with your spirit. One more time. Fill this temple, Lord.
Fill this temple.
That's what a yielded vessel will sing. You will be glorified. When God is done with you, all that man will see is Him. You will be glorified. Unto you, Lord.
Unto you be all glory and honor and praise.
You will be glorified. Glorify unto you, Lord. Let my life give glory to your name. One more time. Glorified on you. Glory.
I'd like you to rise on your feet. We'll pray one prayer before we leave tonight. Father, in this season of my life, at this stage of my work with you, help me to become a yielded vessel. If I yielded to this point, help me to yield some more. It may come with stretching you, but you will not break. And even if you have to break, He's the potter. He's able to form another from the same broken vessel. Lift your voice for 2 minutes. Pray that before we go tonight. Lift your voice and pray. When they say in church, pray for financial breakthroughs, people will cry. When they say pray for a job, a 24-hour miracle, you will hear the voices of people. But now when it has to do with the business of giving God glory, open your mouth. Lord, if I am not giving you glory, if my life is not a yielded vessel for you to flow through, then do something tonight. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Help me to yield. Help me to yield. Help me to yield. Help me to yield. Help me to die to self. Help me to crucify the flesh. What are those appetites, desires, the things that compete with the place of God? Lift your voice and pray.
Be glorified.
Hobra hasande le makai kalada ba shande le beko suba. The problem is not the availability of the content, but if a man therefore will purge himself, this is the reason why you were created as a vessel to show forth His glory. If you yield some more, there is greater glory to be seen, such as even you have never imagined. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Please lift your hands. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we know that with this kind of message, it's a call to greater and deeper consecration. And that's because of what you are about to do that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered the heart of man. Lord, tonight we surrender to you. We give you our all. We give you our yes. Every part of our life where you are not enthroned, Yes, we came with needs. We came with burdens. We came with things that we want you to do. But first of all, we yield every area of our life to you. And I ask that before these 3 days is over, be Lord and Master over all. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to yield for more of your glory. Vessels that can allow your flow beyond our lives to our communities and those around us. Help us to yield to the place of our calling. Help us to yield to the locations you are sending us to. Help us to yield to the new set of instructions you are giving us, even when it doesn't make sense. And let your name be glorified. Thank you for what you have done. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You clap your hands and give Jesus all the praise. Hallelujah. Please let me make an altar call before we go tonight. While we are all standing, if you are here and you want Jesus to be Lord and Savior over your life, perhaps you were born again before, but right now you don't know where you are with God. A lot of things have happened in your life and you just want to rededicate your life. You want to surrender afresh. You want Jesus to truly become Lord and Savior. You want to have a relationship with God. Wherever you are, I'd like you to step forward quickly and I'll pray for you just before we leave right now. If you are here, you want to make a decision for Jesus, please step forward and let's clap for them as they come. As I speak right now, the Spirit of God is nudging your heart. Please leave your seat, carry your bags and your Bibles, whatever you came with, and rush quickly to Jesus. Let's clap for them as they come. That will be the first miracle tonight, to say yes to Jesus and let something begin between you and him today. Let's keep clapping. I'm waiting for that one more person to join them. You will be glorified. Can you stretch your hands to these ones? Those of you in front, please put your right hand on your chest. Repeat this prayer after me and let it come from the depths of your heart. Something is about to change about your life. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive your eternal life. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. Therefore, today, I confess you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I'm yours now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please lift up those right hands to heaven. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the word of God, that their sins are forgiven. We declare from today, eternal life comes into them. Let the power of sin be broken. Let the power of death be broken. Let the power of Satan over their life be broken forever. In the name of Jesus, let every hold of darkness on their life be broken. And I pray that you fill them with your spirit. Let them grow to know you, to serve you, and to walk in a victorious life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please put down your hands. Look at me. Thank you for making this wonderful decision. Whether the first time or you are rededicating your life, God is beginning with you. Not just a new chapter, a new book. It's starting afresh. And he will make your life meaningful. In Jesus' name. Please, this is what you do for me. You just turn to your right. There's going to be a lady waving her hands. She will direct you to our counselors so that before you go, they will talk to you, take your contacts. We want to keep in touch with you, pray with you, and be sure that you are established in this newfound faith, okay? So please, you just take your right, walk up to that lady, and our counselors will attend to you. Let's give a big clap for them. Hallelujah. Amen. Have we been blessed tonight? Tomorrow we are going to start by 4 p.m. We're closing now. We started 5 today because of people who go to work and all of that. But tomorrow 4 will be here, so we have enough time for many other things that the Lord will do. So make sure you are here by 4. We have buses going to different locations. As you walk out through the door, you'll see a desk outside. I don't know if they are still outside now or they are inside. Public relations or any of our protocol officers, they'll let you know how you can join the bus going towards your location tonight and how you can also come with them tomorrow. Tomorrow is 4 p.m. It's Saturday, so I know many of us don't go to work. So please ensure, for those of you who are following the buses, ensure you are at the point for pickup at the right time so that they can come with you to this place. We'll start by 4, so we have enough time for many other things. And God will bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.